שימו לב, שימו לב. ברוכים הבאים לקלאב דייב. פה יורד גשם רק שאנחנו אומרים. Your attention please. Welcome to Club Dave, where it only rains when we say so.
Roth Radio, New York, Philly, talking to Dallas, Texas, Boston, Cleveland. Boston, Cleveland? I've never heard of that city. Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach.
Any place else, Dave?
I haven't gotten a return call, and I'm a little upset. I've made calls to Yakima, and they're just not paying attention to me. Last I got was that the dog kicked the phone over, and she was unable to receive the didn't hear the phone ringing. Did you ever use that on a guy? Pink. Good voice. What's your favorite song by Pink, Animal? That's what I thought. Okay. New York, Philly, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, 866-313-3733. Yesterday was Martin Luther King Day. Have black people made giant strides in racial equality? Is it all up to speed, or has nothing changed and it's just kind of a media wash? Obviously, in some of the inner cities here, you know, you're going to see variation. But in general, and what would you think white people would say? And what do you think the black people would say? Robin, what do you think white people would say as far as the racial equality? Because, you know, starting from the 60s, and you look like you're about 1 year old when that was happening. But from that point up to now, from racial equality, racial rights, etc., do you think black people are pretty much up to speed now and that it's pretty equal?
I think white people would say that.
And what do you think black people would say?
I don't think black people would say that.
Animal, you want to weigh in on this one?
It's white people. It's like 68% says that we have came a long way, and 85% black people say we have came a long way.
85% says that we come a long way.
Yes.
And is that in the hip-hop community, or is that folks my age?
I saw it on the news.
Well, then we know it's true.
Well, see, that's people my age. There's a very different thing there. You know, now I am the man. Now I own the building. Now I run the police. Now I run the military. Now I vote the president in or out. You follow? People my age are the inheritors. You follow? I'm asking, what do our kids think? What do young people today, like the girl that Tommy Lee is allegedly seeing more of, when he's through seeing more of her, what would her opinion be? Do you think she'd have one? Do you think she would even be able to spell racial? I'd prefer not.
R-A-S-H.
U-L.
U-L.
866-313-3733. Give me a call here. You tell me what you think. And let's get some black women on the phone here. If there's somebody out there, you tell me what you think. Fellas, give me a call. You construction worker in Texas, give me a buzz. You tell me what you think. You don't have to tell me your name. You don't have to tell me where you're working. I'd like to hear this, especially if there's a contrary vote. Because you know what? Generally, when you do radio like this, it turns all into touchy-feely. It turns into please love me. And people are afraid to, you know, represent an opposing view. Here, coming from an artistic bias, you know, I'm not coming from radio bias. I've never worked radio before. And after this morning, I may never work it again. But I'm coming from a bias that says, okay, let's give it all, give both sides the spotlight here, because I may be wrong. I'm not a social scientist. I'm way too old and violent to be given a weapon, so I'm not in terms of politics. I don't, you know, but I read a little bit, spend a lot of time in airports. I'm a professional waiter. I wait for the airplane. I wait for the bus. Oh, yeah, I wait for the show. Wait to go home. 866-313-3733. Jamie Foxx, unpredictable. What do you think? What do you think his opinion would be? Because he's now a star. He's in the movies, right? He's singing. He's making records. Yeah. He's been on television and everything. Would he be a component of that? That everything has caught up. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he would probably say so, because he definitely is doing great, you know?
Or if he's doing great right now and he's finally got the spotlight and the microphone, would he take that opportunity like some people do at the Oscars? You know, to collect the Oscar and then go, and I want to talk about the Indians now, and begin to, you know, discuss that element. What do you think? That's an interesting question, isn't it?
Yeah, that's an interesting question.
Because a lot of time, what do you think Kanye West would say? Because he's at the top of his game.
Oh, Kanye West, he hates our president. He said he's a racist man, but that's one man's opinion. I don't think he's racist.
You don't think Kanye is racist?
No, I don't think the president is. But yeah, Kanye West said he's a racist man.
Well, Kanye is a very vocal kid who comes from a very, very, very supportive, loving, and adoring family. And I get the sense that he got 10 pounds of love and when he needed 25 pounds of leadership. And mom just didn't really deliver that because homeboy doesn't know his boundaries. And I don't just mean that in terms of talking about government or talking about politics or whatever. I'm talking about when he was winning his awards. And, you know, and he did his Muhammad Ali, you know, I deserve every award and I got robbed. You remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll stand here quietly as long as you do.
Did he grow up with a dad?
I don't think he did. I don't think he had a dad. I think that his mom was supportive, loving, and adoring, and he grew up in a very creative kind of environment. But where does that leadership come from? Because obviously, kid doesn't understand his boundaries. You know, and in terms of hating the president, well, we always hate the president.
Yeah.
I don't love the president. I don't love Bush. I don't like Lurch either. In terms of Kerry, come on, meet the new boss. Same as the old boss, right? What's the big difference? We always thought back in private school, and I went to boarding school for a while, a very short while, that if Mr. Hooper, the headmaster, died, everything would change in the school, right? And then one day Hooper died, and it got worse. I'm not kidding. And, you know, we play that game with every president virtually that we ever have. Who's the last president that anybody really cared for? And, you know, everybody reads, well, so-and-so and so-and-so. But during their term, we crucify all of our presidents. It's the national sport.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt, probably, because he served, like, longer than any president, didn't he?
I don't have any idea. That's well before my time.
Four terms, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, is that because we were winning the war and not much else?
I don't know. I think people just love what he done because, you know,
What did he do for racial rights? Okay, Randy, give me a call here. I want to talk about your topic, Roth Radio. You're in the spotlight. Go, Daddy-O.
Yeah, good.
Hello.
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, yeah, I just want to say I really love your show. I think it's the greatest thing you've ever done. You were asking about racial equality and how far it's come in this country. I don't think it's come as far as people would like to believe.
Why is that?
Well, I've got some black friends that they're actually afraid to come over in my neighborhood.
Which neighborhood is that, friend?
If the police see them coming through the neighborhood, you know?
What neighborhood is that?
Well,
it's a simple question. What neighborhood is that?
Your neighborhood. The police look at me like I'm a crackhead or something, you know?
I understand that, but what neighborhood are you referring to? You're being evasive, man. You're being evasive. I'm going to hang up on you if you don't carry with me. Go on. What neighborhood are you talking about?
Okay, I'm talking about Jackson Township and outside of Canton, Massillon, Ohio.
Okay, and do you consider this the Midwest?
Yeah.
Okay, and you're saying that if you bring a black bling.
Bling, bling.
How quickly we all absorb, huh? No, if you bring your black friends in there, that your white friends are going to have a problem with that? Is that your issue?
None of my white friends would say anything to me about it, but yeah, I think some of them would have a problem with it.
And why is that? What is it they think about black people that they would have a problem with?
I don't know. I think you do know,
but you don't want to say it because your friends may be listening. So why don't we get our arms around this, like Tony Soprano says, and you explain to me what it is that's in your friends' skulls that is a difficulty with black people? Because I have some problems with every ethnic minority on the earth, including my own Jewish background. Now, go for it.
Basically, the neighborhood I live in is a bunch of snobs, I guess.
Is it a money issue?
Part of it's a money issue. Part of it's just most of them don't know any black people, you know, or don't have any black friends.
Well, I'm going to give you that much because, you know what, I used to not like Indian people because I never grew up with somebody who had a turban on his head. And we always saw that on television, especially as little kids, you know, as, wow, that's the other side of the moon. I never had any experience with Indian food, Pakistani people, Saudis, Afghani, or any of that kind of thing. I grew up in a black neighborhood. I can speak pretty fluent Spanish. I can get us in and out of trouble there. I can get us out completely in trouble in Portuguese, Portuguese. But I never grew up around people who were Indians, especially with beards and turbans. Maybe I'd run into one when I was a little kid driving a taxi, but probably not. Because back when I was a little kid, that was not the element. Now, every doctor I have, Dr. Patel, I'm the bionic dude, okay? I've spent more money on my back surgeries and my knee than the gross national product of most emerging young South American nations, okay? And all of my doctors are Indians. Half of them wear turbans and stuff. So you have an issue there. Do you have a large black community where you are, Randy?
Yeah, there is.
And is it a kind of community that I live in where it's downtown and it's profoundly hip-hop and noisy and the action starts when the sun goes down? Or is this moving uptown?
I'm more out in the suburbs.
You're more like George and Maisie Jefferson, right?
Yeah, there you go.
And they still have trouble with that? What is this, the All in the Family? Who are you? Sounds to me like you're grounded and you have some issues.
When I was out west and down in Texas, my grandfather was born on a reservation.
Okay, he's an Indian?
I found out that Indians aren't well thought of out there, you know?
You know what? It's as simple as this, and I sang this song a long time ago. I think I can summarize the whole issue, you know? It started long before there were races, because the races didn't get together until there was immigration or slavery or something like that. It was always the religions fighting with each other. And I can summarize exactly what's happening in the free world today. Turn the music off. The Buddhists hate the... The Buddhists hate the Baptists. The Catholics heard the news. Presbyterians hate the Episcopalians. And everyone hates the Jews. Music, please. Did I summarize that appropriately? Or?
In this world, in the name of religion, you know, I mean...
We've lost the thread, Randy. But we're a better place to lose it than Roth Radio. 866-313-3733. I find it curious that the neighborhoods he's describing, whether it's upper middle class, and I get the impression he lives in suburbia and there's two cars in front of every garage, or he just started to try to describe construction worker, Texas, urban cowboy, oil derrick, kind of whatever. Whether or not there's racism, whether or not there's clamor in terms of whose neighborhood's what, look what's on the radio. Look what's on television. Look what everybody's singing. Look what everybody's rapping. You go to the poorest, crummiest, white trailer trash neighborhoods in Houston, Texas, and they are throwing down. They are gang signing, man. They're wearing backwards baseball hats and pants six sizes too big. God, I love this diversity. You gotta love this village, huh? Number 8, Jay, talk to me. Philadelphia wants to weigh in on reverse racism. Roth Radio, your life. Go. Hello.
Hello.
Go ahead, man. You're on.
Yeah, this is Jay from Philadelphia. I want to weigh in on that race issue.
You have the microphone. Go ahead.
I think that race equality might have went a little bit too far in the sense that we got no white entertainment television, no white Miss America pageant, no Native American entertainment television.
Okay, so you're saying that there should be a specific Miss Indian Nation pageant and that there should be a Miss Jewish Princess pageant? That there should be, no, really, I'm being serious, because we have enough television channels now, and we have enough internet storage space, shelf-wise, okay, that...
I'm down with that. That's exactly what I'm saying. If we're going to make it equal, let's make it equal across the board. Let's not just isolate one group. I mean, a lot of people have suffered. A lot of people put up with a lot, Native Americans in general, and I don't see Native American entertainment television out there.
Well, yeah, actually, you do. What you see is the Indians buying the country back one quarter at a time through slot machines. And as far as creating entertainment, I think that quadruple billion-dollar gambling industries are going to be a little more beneficial as far as entertaining people than putting on a beauty contest. I don't know what the average Navajo diet is, but I'm going to suspect that it's a little bit less than, or a little bit more than what Naomi and whoever is ordering on the menu at the restaurant today.
But I think what this guy's saying, Dave, is that if there was a white Miss America pageant, there would be such an uproar. And there is a Miss Black America or a Black Miss America, however they say it, pageant, and that's okay. And I think that's the point that this guy's making, is that if we, there is no white entertainment television, there is black entertainment television. And
okay, now, is he going to then argue that the Miss America pageant as it exists is a white pageant with a smattering of black. I'm going to wonder out loud if he's going to bring that up. Yeah, let's hear it from him. Go ahead.
Absolutely not. I think they've got, you got some Asian thrown in there. America's a melting pot. You got a little bit of a mix in there. Predominantly, most Americans, I would say, are white, but they're all of mixed nationality backgrounds. So I would say they're doing fairly decent at mixing it up in there, but you don't see the Black Miss America pageant with a smattering of whites in it.
I think you have an interesting point. I wonder if we can get somebody black to weigh in on. Oh, well, Animal.
Yeah.
would you prefer Animal that everybody has separate? Okay, let's keep the Miss America pageant, let's call it the cultural tapestry, the rich cultural tapestry that it's always been, reflecting the marvelous diversity of our neighborhoods and all the rest of that BS. I'm not running for mayor. Yeah. But if you keep that, would you also be up for the all white Miss America pageant? And I'm not speaking slang.
All white.
Would you watch an all-white Miss America pageant? Yeah, all right, I already know the answer to that.
Of course. Yeah.
Of course you would. Would your wife let you watch it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she would.
Okay, but if the girls were great and she was jealous, she would say, I'm going to guess, she would say, you can't watch the all-white girl pageant, but you could invoke the race card and say, no, I'm watching the all-black girl pageant, and she would be afraid to intervene, right?
Right, probably would. But my wife, you know, she let me watch whatever I want, you know. As you know, my wife is a white woman. I married a white woman. But, see, like, what people don't know, see, I came through a lot of racist stuff in my day. See, I'm 45, and I'm from Montgomery. So, therefore, you know I've seen something and been through something. You can't say the N-word on the radio, can you? Okay,
no.
I can just say the N-word. Like, this is a true story. Like, for 3 years, we learned nothing in school from 1970 to 1973. We didn't want to go to school with white kids. White kids didn't want to go to school with us. We fought all the time. And the first time that the N-word was mentioned to me, I was on my way to the bathroom, and this white guy, we just bumped. He said...
How old were you?
I was about, I don't know, probably 14 maybe, or 15.
First time you ever heard the word?
No, from a white guy to my face.
Okay, but did you call your friends and each other that word?
Yeah, we do that all the time.
But okay.
But it wasn't E-R, it was with the A at the end.
I know,
anyway,
it's kind of like the song, like if you took the lyrics from a song like... Where's my African American?
It wouldn't
sound as good.
Yeah.
Right?
So okay. The guy, he bumped me, and then he turned around and said, damn, I got to take a bath tonight. I've been brushed by in, just like that. And I looked at him, and he had all his boys with him, so we didn't fight or nothing like that. But this is the irony of it. That white guy graduated high school with me as my best friend. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, it took a time, but... As time went on, me and him became best friends, and we graduated high school.
Stop right there. Stop right there. Of course he became your best friend. You probably outweigh him by three bodies. You probably squish his head like a little racist grape. Snap his neck like a dry twig. You could have taken his nostrils, pulled them back over his lion white bigoted skull, then bend his skull all the way up, stuff it up his tush, tie his legs together, and bowl him like a racist bowling ball right into the future, right?
Yeah, because I broke a lot of barriers down south.
And
too.
A lot of noses, I'm sure. Don't go away, too. Roth Radio, breaking the rules, ruining it for everyone.
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings.
David Lee Roth, Niyakosa. Asaichivani Rokujinodasu. Itsuma onaji. Welcome to David Lee Roth. First thing in the morning, Roth, 6 a.m. Very consistent.
Omówione najważniejsze sprawy związane z dalszym rozwojem województwa i kraju.
Live in the studio, Brian Young on the guitar, man. Feel black rage, baby. Oh, the rage I feel. The rage I feel for you, Robin Bakai.
Is there Jewish rage?
Yeah, but it's black. We feel rage.
We feel rage, but we never have a name for it.
We feel rage, but it's black rage that we feel, baby, because when we express it most efficiently, it sounds like this. Yeah. I want to introduce you to the rabbi. Baby, I'm a rabbi. Talk to the Rebbe, baby.
The Rebbe of Rage.
Talk to the Rebbe, baby. Talking to the Rebbe, baby, baby. Because I'm a hip-hop baby Rebbe. Oh, yeah, dig my hat, baby. Roth Radio. Turn my microphone up here a little bit. Roth Radio. New York, Philadelphia. I'm going to bless Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh. Not a big shout-out. From West Palm Beach to the Gaza Strip. That's not a big conceptual leap. But I'm going to make it. But I'm a Rebbe Bebe. Oh, yeah. And I want to talk about race. Yeah. And I want to talk about the race. Oh, nothing but yeah. Okay. Ooh, here's the name. I'm going to keep that voice. Chiquita. Oye, Chiquita Bonita. Talk to me about race, baby. What's up? You're on, Chiquita.
Okay, I'm driving to work. What's up?
Chiquita Bonita. What kind of name is that? That's a great name.
It's actually Chiquita Fruit. It's a nickname I got in high school.
Chiquita Fruit?
Yes.
What is that? That's like a sticker that's on a banana or something? You slut. I love you already. What is it? What? Chiquita Bonita? Chiquita.
I don't know. She just thought I looked good with like a fruit hat on, so she called me Chiquita Fruit, and I named my website after that.
I think it's a cold, totally good name. Okay, and you're calling from the Bronx, north or south?
I don't know. It's like Throgs Neck, right by the Throgs Neck Bridge.
Throgs Neck Bridge? That's pretty much North Bronx, I believe. 47th.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and the topic today that you would like to discuss with Animal is?
I think it's interesting, like, you know, with all the uproars and so everybody wants to get back at all my slavery days, blah, blah, blah. But meanwhile, it's, you know, they don't tell you in school that it's the tribes that sold each other to the white guys that brought them over.
Oh, so you're saying that the previous owner is responsible.
Right. And they did it all for money. So it all comes down to doing it for money.
Do you think
that... actually, you know, the first slaves were, I think they were Asian at first. So, I mean, we don't have, like, an Asian day carrying on. We don't have, like, a Jackie Chan day or a Bruce Lee day.
So you're saying we've skipped over the first people with racial issues, that, in fact, the first slaves were Asian, and that, in fact, the real slaves weren't black, and that their previous owners are responsible, and we can pretty much wipe our hands clean into this. Do you think?
I don't think we can wipe our hands clean, but it's not, you know... 100, it's both their fault.
But with a good lawyer, it's an actionable sequence of events, right? I can pretty much demonstrate, according to you, that in fact, the blacks had it rough, but not as rough as the Asians. In fact, we even had to change. We used to call them Chinese, you know, we gave them so much trouble, and it's just recently that we started calling them Asian, right?
Or Oriental.
No, that's illegal now. You don't call that. That's negatory,
well,
right?
Well, I understand Oriental is furniture, and the people are Asian.
What?
Yeah, I swear to God, I heard that.
How do you define that?
That Oriental is a style of carpet and particular furniture,
so,
and you can say it in regards to that, but when it comes to people, they're Asian.
Because one of the producers who works here has all the personality of a small soap dish, which is furniture. So,
who will now be known as
Oriental. Okay, all right, I'm just a little fuzzy on some of these ethnic things. Okay, Chiquita. Do you live, well, obviously, if you're calling from the Bronx, you may well be black yourself. What color are you, darling?
I'm Korean, but I'm an adopted Korean. I'm like, I consider myself Swedish American.
Okay, so you are a Swedish American Korean who maintains that Asians were the first slaves and that the blacks, if they have a problem with it, let them talk to the previous owner. Go on that. Go ahead.
Well, it's the black tribes that sold each other.
Oh, okay. So wait. You just used the word tribe. So you're saying the American Indians, a tribe of American Indians, were responsible for the first black guys who sold the Asians back to the Orient? And without that, we wouldn't have Animal?
Oh, man.
Tribes in Africa captured other tribes in Africa and sold it to the European guys that came over here.
Okay. The Europeans were the first ones to bring the American Indians over here.
Dave.
And, and we're the ones who tried to teach him Chinese?
African tribe.
Okay.
Do we get soup with that?
Animal would like a side of fries.
Yes.
Do you see how nuclear war gets started, Robin? Do you see how just astonishingly easy that could just be triggered?
What the lovely Takeda is saying, though, is that black tribes sold other black tribes to slave traders who brought them to America. Is that right, Takeda?
Correct.
Okay. Where did the Chinese come into this?
I don't know. I
they're the ones who made the...
They made the railroad.
Okay. I think I'm with you. Don't look over to the side, but I'm here. Takeda, you should run for Congress.
Oh, thank you. No, I'm not born in America. So.
I think this is amazing. You know what? You are the living embodiment of what I told every dimwit in the record industry over 15 years ago. It was so super specific ghettoized, right? You had white rockers here. You had black soul here. You had Latino didn't even have their own, unless you spoke Spanish. There was only the Mexican channel.
It was Puerto Rican then.
It was Puerto Rican then, And none of it was mixed together. And I kept saying to the media and everybody, you know what's coming down the street? Literally, a Korean chick on an Italian Vespa with somebody who looks like Animal on the back, and they're listening to Israeli hip-hop thrash punk, and they're going to the Green Day concert, right? And they're wearing an old Van Halen shirt. Am I getting this right?
Nope.
She's on her way to the Vespa, even as we speak. Takeda, you're what I need. You make my life completa. Oh, yeah. Can't you see her? What you mean to David Leah? 866-313-3733. Okay. Hillary. Talk to me, Hillary. Put me in the pillory.
You there?
Yes, I was just rapping, darling. Go ahead.
Two main comments. One is most of the comments on racism in this conversation have been largely ignorant. I don't mean that as an insult, but
No. I resent the term largely. I think they've been completely ignorant. What do you
think? Well, absolutely. And two points that I want to make. One is, it's not about equality by giving white people what black people are beginning to have or achieve. We don't have the history in this country of being enslaved, of being kept down, of being prevented from being able to achieve and participate in things as recently as, the civil rights movement was only 30 and 40 years ago.
You're right, you're absolutely right, darling, except for the Russians, except for everybody who's coming out of Eastern Bloc countries, East Berlin, Czechoslovakia, parts of Poland, places like Estonia, et cetera, and in terms of people in the Mideast, the Algerians who are moving into, aside from all of those, there's not a whole lot of problems that people have had to endure compared to what the black people have, but go ahead and speak to that if you would.
I'm not saying there haven't been problems for other people in other cultures. What I'm saying is that we haven't had the systematic oppression that we had that specifically legalized and legislated excluding a certain group of people.
I'm with you. I agree.
In the economy. And that's one thing. So that's why we need some type of affirmative decisions to try to bring back some equality. There's still people... people want to say, forget slavery, it was so long ago. There's still people that are directly affected whose living grandparents who are raising them.
Okay, and what would you do affect this in 20 words or less? What would you do? Go.
No, I don't know what the answer is. I know that we can't ignore it. I think affirmative action and recognizing, black culture and black music and black history.
Okay, so are you talking like Jay-Z mostly, Beyonce? Are you talking like Public Enemy and Don't Believe the Hype? Is that the kind of black culture that you're referring to?
I'm not trying to pick and choose or try to even tell people what it is. I'm saying the first step is to raise awareness and experience, and that goes back to my ignorance comment. You're talking to a bunch of people that either haven't known black people, haven't been in situations where, they've experienced black culture or been in situations where they've had to be uncomfortable just because of who they are.
I understand what you're saying.
My second point is we don't have a white culture, so we don't need a white Miss America or a white musician. We don't have a white culture. We don't go around as white people thinking...
Well, wait a second. I'd like to speak to that for a second here. Would you consider the Country Music Channel a white culture?
It's more country.
What are you, a senator? Get off my phone line, Roth Radio. I'd rather believe in a commercial than that last call. Hey, she makes a lot of good points. It's just the ending that sucked. Turn on the Country Music Channel.
David Lee Roth in the morning.
I'm feeling white, baby.
Radio Roth, la première chose du matin. Télé Dave, rien d'autre que du yeah. Roth Radio, first thing in the morning. Dave TV, nothing but yeah.
Roth Radio, so black, so real. New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, Liberia, Uganda, Sierra Leone, and all points in between.
And Flatbush.
And there, from Flatbush to Sierra Leone. Yes, right. DavidLeeRoth.com. We are worldwide, and we're talking black and white. That's what it's all about, man. There's black and there's white. I don't know if there's a gray area in this. Do you think there's a gray area? If there's a lawyer involved. Robin's wearing her glasses now. Do you feel black?
I'm feeling it. Plus, you're wearing your sunglasses. Animal's wearing a sunglasses.
Animal's sunglasses are surgically grafted onto the front of his skull.
That is true. I've never seen you without.
Without the glasses?
Yeah.
No, he's like Bob Dylan or who else wore the glasses like that? You got to wear the glasses.
Roy Orbison.
These are the Diesels. I have chrome hearts, too.
You got what?
These are Diesels I got on, but I do have the Cadillac of them all, so I have chrome hearts at home.
What's a chrome heart? That sounds great.
Chrome hearts is like the Cadillac of glasses or the Mercedes of glasses to me.
So like when you put them on the side of your head, it sounds like the door of a Benz closing.
Yeah, you know. But unfortunately, in a scuffle at your favorite watering hole, they got split in two by a 2x4.
Oh, wow. That sounds like there's a story. What's the story that goes with that?
Oh, man.
Was it a racial thing?
No, I got like, this guy wanted to come in the club, and he didn't have ID. He wanted to see the manager because he wanted to come in. I was like, no,
man. He had a 2x4 with him?
He didn't have it. It was outsized. And so, you know, he went back outside, and then he came back up. I'm like, what is this guy doing? I told him to get away. I opened the curtain, and there it was. Pow! He hit me so hard, split my glasses, my head, and then me and him got into a big scuffle. Then I slammed him into the manager's car, like stuck his head in the car and stuff. And
this is good. I like this. Have you met Tom Gisano yet?
Oh, man. But right. This is, you know, then we go up the street. You know, it's all up in the street. Then, like, he threw the 2x4 at me and missed me and hit somebody's car. And I wound up had to pay for it. I figured the club.
For the 2x4 or the car?
I had to pay for the car.
For both?
Yeah.
See, you know? There's racial inequality in this country, man. That's what I'm talking about. Was he white?
Nah, he was he was mixed with like Indian or something.
See, perpetuating the cycle. I can rationalize just about anything this morning. Boston, one of the most relaxed, most flexible, most accepting cultures in the United States today. My heart, I'm wearing red socks. Talk to me, Boston. What's cooking?
Nothing. What's going on, Dave?
Go ahead. You're in the spotlight.
The whole racial thing. I don't know. I'd like to say that we're not a racial community, but I think there's a couple different things that decide whether we're racial or not. I think geographically it depends on where you are, where you're brought up, where you're living. I think that, you know, it's a matter of who's better qualified. Unfortunately, to this day, I still think that white people have better options to go to school, to get the education that you need to get a quality job.
I would agree with that. Why do you think that is? Because there's not enough cash or not enough willingness? What do you think?
I think it's a matter of families having money in the past and it getting passed down through the years. Or, I don't know, it could be a number of things. I honestly don't know what it is.
But okay, now what you're describing, my friend, is people who are struggling to catch up with what is justifiably their birthright, for example. You know, an equal education, equal pay, whatever. And I'm going to agree with you that, by and large, the overall population is struggling. Come on, it's 23% of the population, 70% of the crime that's, you know, happening in the prisons or whatever, okay? With that in mind, how come black culture is absolutely the top choice of the young, the middle-aged, and the old today, whether it's music, fashion, theater, drama, the characters, you know, whether it's Diddy or Jay-Z or Beyonce or whatever. It has completely, totally dominated my record collection. It has completely and totally dominated everything that I wear that's hanging in my closet. It's completely dominated the young people, etc. I'm all for it. Why do you think that's happened?
I honestly couldn't tell you. I mean, there's a number of things. I mean, if you look at sports, for example, look at hockey. No offense to, you know, African-Americans, but how many African-Americans play hockey?
Okay, how many African-Americans grow up near a place where they can go ice skating? And when they are near the place that goes ice skating, where would they feel safe playing hip-hop music out of a beatbox sitting next to the pond? Because I grew up a little bit in Brookline, Massachusetts, Swampscott, Massachusetts. We used to love it when the winter snows would first come and the fire department would come and flood the girls' field, you know, where they would usually play football and stuff and make giant hockey rings or whatever. And I was doing a commercial for the New Jersey Devils. I forget the fella's name. What is it?
Gomez.
And I was reading the commercial and I went, and watch out for Robinson, Williams, Johnson, and Gomez. There ain't nobody named Gomez in hockey. Well, now there is. And now there's somebody named Gomez in snowboarding. And now there's somebody named Gomez in ski jumping. And now there's somebody named Gomez in rock climbing. And I'm using that to apply to all the different colors or whatever. But isn't it interesting that in terms of the racial development, you know, the paycheck, going to school, that's way off balance. I think everybody will agree with that. But the culture, the music, the look, the vibe, the attitude... and the sunglasses have dominated the culture completely. I'm so good with that, man. I just like to celebrate that. Or do you just celebrate that? Go ahead.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. I mean, you know, it's sorry to say, and you know what? It's not quite to the level of the racial discrimination that it was, you know, years and years and years ago, but it definitely is still very strong today.
Yeah, I agree. But at least the pot's better. Thanks for calling. 866-313-3733. I'm gonna roll my new Snoop Doggy Pina Colada blunt.
You know, Cadillac was putting out the Snoop DeVille.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It was very cool. Nick actually test drove it.
Is it a cool car?
It's it was all pimped out, and Nick's a big Cadillac driver, and he went and checked it out.
And it's got probably a super amazing stereo put in there with the boom, right?
Oh, yeah. And it's you know, Leopard and the whole nine yards.
An automobile is just a way to move your stereo around the neighborhood. I'm convinced of that.
Yeah, you're right about that. Because, like, down south, if you want to sell a black man a car, just put a radio in it. You got him, man.
Jane wants to talk about that all the way from Ohio. Jane, Roth Radio.
Good morning.
Go ahead, sweetheart.
Hey, you know, I try not to be a racist person because, you know, this is just one big giant melting pot. And the gentleman before me was correct. It's a geographical situation, and it all depends on where you live, because, you know, you can become a product of your environment or you can do something about it. And technically, I'm basically a product of my environment.
What exactly is your environment?
Middle-class working woman.
A middle-class working woman. How old are you?
Yes, I am 35.
You listen to black music?
Yes, I do.
I
actually
can hear it in your tone. You love black music, don't you?
DMX all the way.
Okay, well, let's expand the topic a little bit. You think hip-hop is dangerous?
No.
You think that violence in music is going to affect young people, or that's all cool, like in the movies?
It depends on the home situation.
Now, do you think that hip-hop encourages noise and rage and anger and movement?
No, that would be like the rock and roll situation back in the 80s with Judas Priest and the parents that were trying to say that his music caused my teenager to commit suicide.
You know what? I was funning with you, but you just made an extraordinary point. Now I'm going to reverse my decision, and I'm going to agree with you 100%. Go ahead. Hold forth.
Well, if children are using that as an excuse, you know, that's because the parents have allowed them to. The parents have not been involved. And, again, that's being a product of your environment.
I agree with you 100%. Animal, what do you think? Does hip-hop music encourage violence?
Well, you know, it's like a 50-50 thing, you know, because I've been on both sides. You know, sometimes it do, sometimes it don't, you know, but it's like...
When do it?
Well, it's a catch-22.
When do it be a catch-22? Let me translate this. Thank you for calling. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. I feel so whacked today. You think it's the Red Bull?
Isn't there always something bad going on at the Vibe Awards? And I mean, people are getting killed at these things. And I don't think it seems to me.
At the recent one?
I don't know if it was the recent one. But rap concerts, aren't they traditionally... You know, don't things happen all the time?
I don't imagine that anything happens at rap concerts that you don't encounter at a country western show when it's giant sized. I played a show at whatever the football stadium was in Dallas, Texas. There were some 40,000 people there, and ZZ Top was top bill, and Aerosmith. This was back in late 70s, early 80s, whatever, and it was completely out of control, which is what it should be. You know, these kinds of events. I don't care if it's a European soccer game. Or there's religious revivals where people go nuts, okay? I don't think it's specific to the kind of music. What we hear about mostly is the black music. Go ahead.
Yeah,
but when you were with Van Halen, and you'd go out and there would be a whole lot of drinking, but you guys are up there and you're singing about having a great time and sex and fun, and you know, and it was all rock and roll. And now it's this whole gun culture, the whole gang culture. I've got a 17-year-old nephew in Florida, who I can't understand a word he says, and I can't believe I'm saying that. I've become one of those. But he's this total rap kid, and it scares me to death.
Okay, so you accept
because of the guns and the women are, you know, hoes and bitches, and there's no respect for any kind of authority.
Do you have any problem with that when it's on the movie screen provided by Jerry Bruckheimer?
No.
I hate it when they download my records and I'm wearing a counterfeit watch. Let me tell what time it is.
It's David Lee Roth in the mornings.